I have a word for you if you're ready. Who's ready? Who's ready for the word of God this morning? Well, if you got your Bibles, why don't you open it to John 11. John 11. John 11, 33. It says, let me know when you've got it. Have you got it? Who brought their Bibles? Who's got a Bible? Who's got a real one? Leatherback. Hallelujah. Who's got a Samsung? It says, therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come see. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind have also kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave and the stone laid against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he's been dead 4 days. Somebody say 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Who wants to see the glory of God? Then they took the stone away from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and he said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me, and I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who stand by, I said this, that they may believe you sent me. Now when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who died came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Who loves the word of God? I don't know about you, but that gets me excited, because I know that God is still alive. He is moving. He is touching this nation. There is a revival spirit that is touching churches all across Australia. Every single place that I go, I see multitudes saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized with the Holy Spirit. I was at a place recently this year, and I just received a text a few days ago, actually. And the gentleman said, after testing, I've done so much testing and it's gone on this year, but after you prayed for me, the results have come in and I'm completely free of leukemia for the first time in years of my life. Come on, that deserves a higher praise. Free of leukemia. Another man on that same altar came out and he said, I said, what's the problem? He said, I'm in extreme chest pains right now. I was laying my hands on him, boom. Prayed for him, and he said his eyes just shot open, like, and you know that's always a good look when something happens. And I said, what's happening? He said, the chest pains have left. And I went, okay. And so what I didn't know, the backstory was that he's got 3 blocked arteries, and he was due for surgery that week. He went back to the surgeon in Adelaide. They ran 3 testing, they screened him, they looked at everything, and they, to their amazement, they found 3 unblocked arteries, and he didn't have to go through the surgery. The surgeon was completely shocked and in awe and said, I'm here to tell you, mate, arteries don't just open on their own. What has happened? And he said, well, I got prayer off this guy who probably couldn't remember my name, but that doesn't matter. He got prayed by this guy and he said, well, I'm here to tell you something. You've experienced a miracle, because they don't just open up on their own. Your God heals. So come on, how good is Jesus? He still heals. Come on, I hope that stirs your faith this morning. And Father, I thank you that we can come into your house this morning. I thank you, Lord, your Holy Spirit is here. And let's just invite his spirit this morning. Holy Spirit, you're welcome. Come and move in this place. Come and touch each and every single person's life. Come and heal. And I just ask that the Prince of Peace be welcome here this morning in this house today. Amen. And this morning, I've got a message for you today. I want to give you 6 keys on how to speak to the mountain. Are you ready? I really believe we live as Christian lives, we know how to pray. We know how to speak to God. We know how to say our Father. We know how to say, thank you for this food. Bless it to my body. In Jesus' name, amen. We know how to communicate with God. But I believe that there's a lost art of prayer that many Christians have forgotten or forsaken. And that is the art on how to speak to the mountain. That is the art of wielding the authority that you've been given in God, the authority that Christ has given you, the same Spirit that rose Christ from the grave that lives in you, the ability to speak back to the mountain, the ability to look danger in the face, the ability to speak to that demon or that trouble and command it and tell it where to go. And this morning, I want to give you six keys out of this passage on how to live that life again. Are you ready? It says here, number one, verse 33, therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Notice here, it doesn't say he groaned in his mind, doesn't say he groaned in his body. It says the very Spirit of God was troubled. The very Spirit of Jesus was concerned and troubled. Did you know that you can trouble the very Spirit of God this morning by your attitude, by the way you carry yourself, by the way you position yourself, by the atmosphere that you release today? You can trouble. The Bible actually says you can quench the Spirit. You can stop a move of God in your life, in your family, by your posture. Well, let's just see what this guy's got. You know, I've heard it all before. I've been in every church. Your attitude is everything. If you want to move mountains today, you need to change your attitude. And I find it so interesting about this whole scene that Jesus knew of this situation. He knew that Lazarus was sick. He knew of his condition. He knew that he was suffering. He even knew he died. He didn't just wait one day. No, he waited 2 days. Didn't just wait 2 days, he waited 3 days. In Jewish customs and laws, 3 days, it means you're dead. After 4 days, you're proper dead. Like, there is no coming back. You're 4 days dead. You are starting to decompose. They can smell him. And yet Jesus still waits to the fourth day. I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know how long you've been waiting. I don't know if you've been believing for a miracle for, 5 years. I don't know if it's been 10 years. I don't know, 20 years, 30 years. Some of us have been waiting for 40 years for our breakthrough, for our miracle. But I want to tell you something today. Just because it's been delayed doesn't mean it's been denied. Just because you've been waiting and waiting doesn't mean God's forgotten about you. You might think he has. You might think he's forsaken you, but I want to tell you something. Keep on believing. Keep on digging that well. Keep on fasting. Keep on praying. It hasn't been denied. Luke 18, verse 8 says, I tell you the truth. He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man returns, will he find somebody on earth who has it all together? Does anyone know their word this morning? Will he find somebody on earth who has, a mansion, 5 bedrooms, no, 6, 3 bathrooms, pamper room, 4-car garage, a couple of Mercedes, Benz, a couple of jet skis, a boat, a good fishing boat. Maybe I'm just trying to manifest what I want. I'm not sure what, 3, 6, 9. I don't know what the kids are doing these days. But it says when the Son of Man returns, he's looking for somebody. He's looking for a person, a group of people. He's looking for anyone. It feels like this is stressing on the lack of whether he will find somebody like this at all. But he's looking for somebody that has faith. And if you know this parable, he's talking about the persistent widow. So it's not just about mindsets. It's not just about I attend church and I believe. No, he's talking about somebody who will not give up, even when all the odds are stacked against them, even when all hell is broken loose, even though the doctor's report says it can't happen, even though the bank statement says this, even though the relationship is like that, will you still believe? Oh, come on, church. Do you believe this morning? Because I believe faith starts when death begins. You don't need all the faith in the world when everything's going great. You don't need all the faith in the world. No, you need it in that hospital room when they've said there's no hope. You need it when hell breaks loose in your family, when that relationship breaks up, when the bank account's in the red. That's when you need to hold on and believe. Come on, this is where mountain moving faith starts today. When you don't give up, when you keep on believing, amen, and you dig those wells, hallelujah. 34, he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come see. Jesus wept, and the Jews said, see how he loved him. Now, I know Jesus loved him, but what I think is so significant about this circumstance, I actually wonder, how many people died that day. I wonder in the city, if we looked at the statistics of how many people actually passed away on this day, I wonder if it was hundreds. I wonder maybe if we look globally or in the whole country, maybe it was thousands. Maybe thousands of people died. Okay, it's a course of a week. Jesus waited four days. Let's talk about the course of a week over the globe. Maybe it's hundreds of thousands of people that actually passed away on that day. But I know one thing. Jesus didn't go to all their tombs. He only went to one. Why? The Bible's very clear. Why did he just turn up at Lazarus' tomb and not everybody else's? Why did he just make a beeline and go to his tomb only? Well, the Bible says that Lazarus and Jesus were friends. Here's what I believe. It matters how close you are to Jesus today. You want to see the mountains move? It matters how close you are to him today. I believe your close proximity to him determines the outcome of the miracle today. It determines the outcome of the blessing today, of the breakthrough today, of your healing today, of your miracles today, and how far that mountain will move today. How close are you to him today? The Bible says in James 4:8, draw near to him and he will draw near to you. It's not the other way around. Oh God, I wish you would just move in my life. Oh God, I wish you would just change my life. Oh God, I wish you would just stir me. No. It's you who determines the distance between heaven and earth. You're the living, breathing, measuring stick between heaven and earth today. How far is it? If we would open up everyone's heart today and see how far is heaven from earth today, what would the measurement be? You determine the distance today. Some of you know, I'm from Melbourne. I'm from Planet Shakers Church. I wasn't always from Melbourne. I've had a life of basically moving around wherever my dad pastored a church, really. Born in Adelaide, lived there for a few years, moved to Cairns in Queensland. My dad pastored up there, Freshwater, under Norm Smorcombe. Then we moved down to a town called Morwell, and my dad pastored there and lived there for quite some time. But in 2018, I decided to leave everything and go live by faith as a full-time evangelist. It was a great idea at the time. Leave my job, leave my income, and just live by faith every single day, every single day. Well, it was going okay, sort of, until 2020. I moved from a country town to the city that would have the longest lockdown on the planet. Now you all laugh because you had 2 weeks holidays and you wish you had it again, just to relax. Just like the country town that I left. Hallelujah. No, I go and move to a city that has the ring of steel that nobody can move out of. We have 275 days of lockdown. And I know you can't grip it, what it's like, but let me just give you a quick example. We had curfews. You couldn't leave the house after 8 p.m. You couldn't leave the house before 5 a.m. If you did, you would be arrested. We had helicopters, military helicopters, police helicopters, going up and down all the highways, making sure there was no cars on the road. One guy got arrested one morning, 3 a.m., to hear a buzzing sound. There was a drone flying up and down our street looking at the houses, taking images. You would get bashed. You would get arrested if your nostril popped out of your mask. We had a 5 kilometer radius that we couldn't leave. Only one person to leave the house at one time. And all of a sudden, I start thinking, feeling, and believing, God, you've forsaken me. My life's over. What have you called me to? This is the end. I honestly thought, Jesus, you're coming back soon. I mean, if Melbourne has another earthquake, it's happening, right? It's got to be soon. Come on, who believes Jesus is still coming back? Who grew up thinking that, you know, any day could be the rapture? I grew up in a house that I remember riding my bike home from school one day, and the pot was cooking, but nobody was home. And it's bubbling and spaghetti's in there. And I start looking around and all of a sudden my heart starts beating faster. And I go to my mum's room and she's not there. And then I run to the other bedrooms and she's not there. And I go into the laundry room and the washing's going, but nobody's there. So I run outside and I ran around the house to the clothesline and there's mum hanging up the washing. Thank you, Lord, the rapture's not today. And one of my outlets is going to the gym. The last lockdown went for 75 days solid. And here I am. I built a gym in my garage. Like an idiot, I'm doing squats in the garage. And in between each set, I'm crying. I'm like, Lord, you've forsaken me. It's supposed to give you endorphins. It's not true. Lord, you've given up on me. I'm a global evangelist working from home. I have this moment where God reminds me of my first love, and I was reading Elijah and he had this moment where he had to come out of the cave. And God told me, go back to your first love, which was prayer and fasting and communion. I'd take communion every day. And I open up the garage as it went up slowly. And I walked out of that garage. And I said, I'm coming out of the cave. And it was 3 p.m. in the afternoon. My neighbor, who's still in her pajamas, looks at me like I'm a weirdo. See, it might have a double meaning today, I'm not sure, but I called my mum because my mum worked at this place called the Storehouse where they'd hand out food. And I knew that she had potato sacks. And I felt really prompted by God to really dig the well. And so for the last 75 days, I called her. And I don't know what it's like when you call your mother, but when I call my mum, I just feel like a teenager again. Does anyone feel like that? And so I called mum and I said, hey mum, I know you work at the food place. Can you get me one of those potato sacks? And she says, yeah, sure, we've got heaps of them. What do you need it for? I don't know. I just need it. And she said, no, we got heaps. Like, it doesn't matter. We've got plenty of them. You just got to tell me what it's for. And I don't know what it's for. No, we got heaps. Let me just tell the guys. If I could, don't tell the guys. Don't tell the guys. Don't tell the guys. Just tell him your son needs it. She goes, what's it for? And I said, Mom, it's to pray in. She goes, it's a what? Oh. So I get this potato sack. Now, my last name is not Taylor. I'm no seamstress. I've never worked in a sweatshop. But I fashion a head hole, some armholes. I make a sackcloth. I sit in my backyard for 75 days. I lit a fire. I cover myself in ash. And the church hasn't been open for nearly 3 years. We haven't been able to set foot in there. I take communion every day. I started doing things, I don't know what I was doing. I'm doing wave offerings. I'm tipping out the communion, pouring drink offerings, saying, wherever your blood touches, Lord, let it touch this globe. I want to see a blood-washed Australia again. Lord, open up your church. Let us worship. Let us worship. Let us worship. Let there be a revival that sweeps this globe. I'm like, Lord, open up the church. My son comes downstairs from waking up in the morning, and he looks at me in double takes. He kind of does like a moonwalk or something backwards. I don't know what it is. And he goes, Mum, why is Dad wearing a kangaroo? And I said to him, son, I'm a third generation Pentecostal preacher, so everything becomes a sermon. He's like 7 years old. I'm like, son, it's not a kangaroo. He goes, okay. I said, it's a sackcloth. He's like, why are you so ashy? I said, son, I'm doing this so that you don't have to. And he goes, what? I said, son, I'm wearing this so that one day you won't have to wear it. I'm doing this. I am fighting this giant so that one day when you go face the giant, guess what? It's already been wounded. Guess what? It's already missing some limbs. Guess what? That thing's on life support. All you got to do is just step over. You know what? I'm facing this mountain. So one day when you go to face it, guess what? It's already crumbling. It's already got cracks in it. And all you got to do is step over it. I'm facing this so you don't have to, because guess what? What you don't face and fight today, your children will face and fight tomorrow. Because what walks in parents runs in children. And today's the day. Come on, we're going to address some mountains. Today's the day it stops in your family. Oh, you wonder why you woke up like this. Why do I feel so bad? Why do I feel so heavy? Why have I got so much rage, so much depression, so much anxiety? Where did this come from? It's not your fault. It was passed down. It was passed down from person to person. It's time. Come on, church. It's time. We spoke to the mountain and dealt with it. Come on, we're doing okay. Number 3:37. And some of them said, could not this man who opened up the eyes of the blind have also kept this man from dying? You know what? There's always going to be critics in this world that won't believe. Then Jesus again, groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone laid against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he's been dead 4 days. The King James says, he stinketh, Lord. When was the last time you checked your stinketh? When was the last time you checked your odor? Have you ever heard the term, your attitude stinks? How is it possible that just your very attitude can influence the atmosphere around you and change the fragrance? 2 Corinthians 2:15 says, for we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. It's life and death. Even certain animals can sense and smell fear, they say. Check your odor. Come on. You want to move mountains? I saw someone up the back just go, I'm not talking about that odor. You need links for that, okay? Or something, I'm not sure. Rexona. Even Psalm 141 says our prayers are like, what is it? Incense. It's a fragrance. Change your fragrance today. You are the fragrance of this earth. Amen. Number 40, verse 40, Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Come on, church, I believe this day is upon us. I believe, come on, that we will see signs in this day, signs and wonders. In the last days, he will pour out his spirit on this earth. Come on, and we will see his glory. Just like Martha. Martha gives an answer. In verse, she gives an answer. She said, yes. Yes, Lord, I believe. Yes, Lord, I do believe. I do believe that we will be raised up. Yes, I do believe. We'll be seated in heavenly places in the resurrection. I believe there's nothing wrong with her answer. Theologically, it's correct. Theologically, I actually believe that 99.9% of us would give the same answer today if we were asked. Do you believe? Yes, I believe in the resurrection. Yes, I believe that one day we'll be seated in heavenly places. Just like Martha, we have the same theology. Nothing wrong with it, but was it the answer Jesus was looking for today? Because just like Martha, I too have faith. I too have faith for this moment in history. I too have faith for this moment in time. I too have faith that one day I will die. One day I'll be seated in heavenly places. One day I'll be living for eternity in heaven. I'll become a part of the great cloud of witnesses. I too believe that. I have faith for the future. Just like Martha, I too have faith for the past. I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. And on the third day, he rose from the grave and he forgave all sins. I have faith for the future. I have faith for the past, but I have no faith for the present. And I live in this pendulum between these two realities. I live in this space where, God, I know you can do it for Sharon. You can do it for Karen and Susan, but you can't do it for me. I've seen you heal people. I've seen you work wonders, signs for everyone else, but not for me. It can't happen for me. And we just hope and we pray, Lord Jesus, please come home. Can you come home? When will you come? And we wait and we beg for this day, that one day, quickly, Lord, take me up into the sky. Does anyone have a rapture plan, by the way? Nobody, okay. No. Oh, I've got a rapture plan. It's to grab two unbelievers under each arm. And about halfway up, I say, repent now or I'm letting go. Come on, it's time to have, if you want to see mountains moved in your life, it's not time to just have faith for the past and faith for the future. Because I believe in a God. Hebrews 13 verse 8 says that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Come on, he does not change a shifting shadow. Every good and perfect gift comes from heaven above. Come on, do you believe it today? With God, all things are possible. Hallelujah. Amen. The band could come, that would be awesome. Join me. It says here, number 5, verse 43 now. When he'd said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. I often wonder what this moment would have felt like. I often wonder how this scene in time in history would have played out. Can you imagine being there and hearing this? I can imagine people would have thought, this guy's crazy. He's lost his mind. The guy's dead. Not only is he dead, but we can smell him from here. He's decomposing. He's rotting in that tomb. and you're shouting at an empty tomb, but Jesus knows something that you don't. Well, I hope you know. You have power in your words. You have authority in your words. He wasn't just speaking to an empty tomb. His very words pierced this atmosphere. Do you know you have power in your words today? You have authority in your words. It matters what you say. Mark 11, 22 says, so Jesus answered him and said, have faith in God. Pastor Rob, we could stop there and do a whole year series on this. Have faith in God. We have faith in everything else today. We got faith in the news. No, obviously we don't. Okay. We got faith in the Today Show. We got more faith in Koshi than in the Word of God. We got more faith in the cash cow than the tithes and offerings.
Get it.
We got more faith in the Powerball than the tithes and offerings or the miracle offering. We've got more faith in Chemist Warehouse than Jehovah Rapha. Oh. I mean, their prices are unbeatable. No, they've got the warehouse buying power that you just can't compete with. Zyrtec's on special, $29.99 for a 70-pack. You can't get that anywhere else.
South Africans write home about Chemist Warehouse.
For assuredly I say
tell everyone
to you,
about
Chemist you Warehouse. Say whoever says, come on, is there a whoever in this room today? Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea and does not doubt in his heart.
Can you get the pad up?
But believes those things he says will be done. He will have whatever he says. Turn to your neighbor and say, you will have whatever you say. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you've received them and you will have them. Isn't it interesting? Jesus highlights two variables of declaration, what you say and what you pray. It astounds me how different what we say and what we pray can be. When we come to the prayer meeting, oh, hallelujah. Father God, I'm believing for a revival. I want to see this, but I will do whatever, Lord. I give him my firstborn. I'm going to call him Samuel. I'm going to raise him up in the church. I'm going to give him to the church. I'll give my whole life to Mackay. I want my family and the generations and the generations and the generations to come from me. It's beautiful one day, perfect the next. Oh, I love it here. And we walk out here and go, oh, Mackay. Can't stand it. Nothing's ever good. Look at the teenagers running amok out there doing whatever they want. Graffiti and vaping. It's no good. Woolies, they've
so
given
true.
Up.
So true.
Coles' prices through the roof. They've got no trolley wipes, nothing. And we complain. Oh, I love my spouse and my children. Oh God, thank you for blessing me with them. We get home, we start believing. Our little angels at church in the prayer meeting. We get home and they're little banshees. Why haven't you cleaned your room? What's going on? Who hasn't done the dishes? Even if you do the dishes, you haven't done them properly. You haven't done them to the standard. Right? We start complaining about these things. Oh, what about the weather? What about your back? Oh. No, the winters. No, they're cold up here. No, trust me. I know you're from Victoria, but it gets cold. My back seizes up. No, you don't believe me. I know, but no, I can barely move. No, I know. You keep telling me. No, I don't want... September comes, and then the winds and my hay fever, and then it starts blocking up, and I can't breathe. Good thing Zyrtec's on special, because... But it makes me drowsy, so I get Clarentine. I know, you keep saying it. You keep talking about it.
Hey, Jen,
you have
the,
whatever you say.
The green mic down in the mix,
Bible says,
otherwise
speak
it's going
to the
to
mountain,
go to
don't marry the mountain.
Ears in
oh,
the
no, we
faith
met
room.
The mountain when we were young. We took it out, we started courting. We went on dates. We fell in love. It was love at first sight. We took it, we got married. It was a beautiful ceremony. We danced all night till she'll be coming around the mountain when she comes. It's our favorite song. We went to Hawaii and we celebrated. Now we've got little baby mountains. We're growing them up to be just like their father mountain. Have you met people? They can't go anywhere. It's amazing that they're here today. Have you seen their mountain? It's so big. It's so huge. It has to have a special everything. You have to take a you have to accommodate for it. Why? Because they spoke to their mountain once and it got angry. I tried that, speaking to the mountain, and I fear the mountain. It had an avalanche one day. A volcano erupted. See, whatever you fear, you serve. Whatever you fear, you come under its authority. You're bound to it. This is why the Bible says, fear God alone. It's the beginning of all understanding. Why does it say that? Because you know what? No demon on earth, no sickness on earth, no disease on earth is worthy of fear, but God alone. He's the only one worthy of your fear. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat of its fruit. It matters what you say today.
Joel, you need to open up and
start to speak life.
Just talk to Joel.
Change your confession. Are you one of those confession guys? Yes, I am. The Bible says he's the high priest of our confession. And don't have him high priest or Lord over something you don't want to see happen in your life. Clap your hands, all your people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Are you a confession guy? Yeah, I actually am. Believe in your heart. Confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and you will be saved. Oh yeah, I believe in confession, all right.
Joel, I reckon it we can just do an up chorus. Just be ready with an up
say
chorus.
Today. You've got to understand something. You're created in the image of God. Well, some versions say you're created in His likeness. What does that mean?
Let's jump straight in.
That means when God first spoke,
if when He's ready,
it wasn't just for communication. So it was actually for creation.
A 4-beat counting.
Let there be light. You have creation in your mouth. Your words aren't just for speaking to everybody and communicating with everybody. It's for creating something today. You're created to create. And you make or break the world around you by the words that you say. The enemy knows this. He's a creator. He's created. He can't create anything. He doesn't create anything. He
so I
copies.
Think we all
look
do just a shimmer on D.
He copies.
And it's going to be a 4-bar counting probably.
But he knows something about you and I. He knows that you're created in
and
God's
likeness.
And
then it's going to be
he knows that you and
nice
I are
and
people
big.
Of faith.
Just be ready because I want us to have
that
That's function, that readiness.
If he can just get you to say it, he knows you're created. Somebody say, speak to the mountain.
Speak to the mountain.
Speak to the mountain.
Speak to the mountain.
Verse 44, and he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. It's time to remove the grave clothes. It's time to take off that spirit of death. It's time to leave it all behind. Too many of us, we've got stories of when we were healed. We've been healed before, but we're still hurt. We still carry the grave clothes of the past. We still carry the grave clothes of yesterday. All of our sin has been dealt with on the cross. All of our sin, you've asked for forgiveness over and over and over. All of our sin is falling for eternity. Too many of us have bought kayaks. And our favorite beach to visit is the Sea of Forgetfulness. And every week we love to go out there. We've got an anchor rope attached to our past. We love to just pull it up each week and just check. Oh, yeah, it still stinks. It's still off. Yeah, it's still rotten. Yeah, it's still grave clothes. Yes, that's right. It still smells like death and decay. Yes, that's right. And then we drop it. We let it drop. Maybe for a week, maybe for a year, maybe for 30 years, 20 years. And we love to come, keep coming back out and just check it again, check it again. It is time to cut the anchor rope, church. It is time to remove the grave clothes. Come on, take off the grave clothes today. Take off that past today. I'm reminded of Zechariah 3, where Zechariah has a vision of the high priest Joshua, and he's wrapped in filthy garments, and the angel says, take off the filthy garments. Give him rich royal robes. Come on, I don't know about you, but I need rich royal robes today. Clothe him in rich royal robes. This is a picture of what Christ will do. The angel of the Lord at one side, the accuser at the other.
It's an up measure into the chorus, so
the prophecy, it'll
only be three counts. Chorus 2, 3, your name.
Did you know you can speak into your future?
Is that right, Joel?
Do you know that you have license by God to speak into your future? Zechariah has an idea. He says, give him a new turban. Give him a fresh turban. Do you know what that is? It's a transformation of your mind. It's not just your body. It's not just your physical needs. But he's in the business of renewing minds.
Yeah.
Healing hearts, yeah. Restoring minds. Don't conform to the patterns of this word, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. He's here right now. Would you stand to your feet all across this place? And I believe mountains move, mountains shift off our lives when we decide to remove the grave clothes today. Come on, the grave clothes are coming off. And if you're here today, you've got mountains of sickness, mountains of disease, mountains of mental health issues, mountains of past things, curses, if you will, passed down from generation to generation. Whatever the mountain is, come on, we're going to speak to that mountain today. Whatever that mountain is, come on, we're going to deal with that mountain today. If you've got mountains in your life, I'm going to open up the altar right now. We're going to sing a song, but I want you to come right now. Come right now. Come right now. Come on.
Ready?
Mountains of depression are going to go. Mountains of anxiety are going to go. Mountains of sickness are going to go. They're coming off.
Your name is Bob.